This edition of the Sessions at Midori House was first broadcast on the 5th of September 2015 on Monocle 24.
I'll take a little bit of bass as well.
You can turn it up a little bit, just a teeny bit. Yeah, that's fine.
Hey, test mic.
Rolling?
Okay, I'm recording whenever you're ready.
Let's do it, man.
You're listening to the Sessions at Midori House with me, Holly Fisher. When the second gig you ever play is supporting Rufus Wainwright, you know you're probably onto a good thing. Well, that's how things have gone down for this week's guest, British singer-songwriter Rhodes. He's about to release his debut album Wishes after garnering national radio airplay across the UK, supporting a wealth of big artists, and most importantly, selling out headline gigs. It's safe to say that he's a musician with the title One to Watch firmly attached to his name. Before we hear from Rhodes himself, here he is performing Turning Back Around.
There's water on the ground down by the milestone. I don't know how shallow it is. Can you tell? Can you tell just by looking at it? Well, I need to get across, but my hands are tied by my side. Can you swim? Can you swim just by kicking out? I didn't mean no harm. I didn't mean no harm. Now I'm hurting from everyone I know. I can't tell them what I know. I'm how lonely I've been. Can you tell? Can you tell just by looking at me? I didn't mean no harm. I didn't mean no harm. Now I'm hiding from everyone I know. I can't tell them what I know. I'm lying to everyone I know. I can't tell them what I know. And ooh, I'm not turning back around. And ooh, turning back around. And ooh, I'm not turning back around. And ooh, I'm not turning back around. I heard you, I heard it all. I heard you, I heard it all. I heard you, I heard it all. I heard you, I heard it all.
Welcome to the Sessions at Midori House, and thank you for a really, really gorgeous session.
Thanks for having me. It's my pleasure.
How's your summer been so far? You've been doing lots of festivals, lots of gigs.
Yeah, I've been doing tons of stuff. Sort of started it off with a tour with George Ezra around Europe, which was a lot of fun, and then just went straight into festivals, so it's been pretty crazy. And then in between, doing lovely things like this. So it's been, yeah, it's been pretty full on, but it's a lot of fun.
How is it performing at festivals compared to doing the gigs?
It's kind of over in the blink of an eye. You get there and you turn up and before you know it, you've played. It's such a rush. It's a lot of fun and it's a completely different feeling, because when you're doing your headline show, you have so much time to think and prepare. But festivals is kind of the opposite of that. So you just got to go with the vibe and just... And when you get there, you just sort of figure out, you know, okay, this is what it is. Let's do it.
I was looking at your Twitter feed and you were saying you were at Secret Garden Party playing a tree.
I played in a tree. It was nice.
How many band members can you fit in a tree?
I managed to fit 5.
That's pretty good going.
It was good, yeah.
A decent sized tree.
And my monitor guy is twice the size of a normal human being. So let's say 7.
Okay.
This song's called Close Your Eyes. Maybe I'm just as scared as you, but it's alright, stay by my side. On the edge of everything we know, but it's alright, just don't look down, and I'll hold on.
And something I'm always quite interested in, when I was reading about you, so many people were saying, Rhodes, he's been supporting this person, that person. You've supported some amazing people like Laura Marling and London Grammar. How are support gigs? What sorts of bands do you think you get the best reception when you support them, or sort of what sorts of bands? And how does it differ from a headline gig?
I think doing the support shows is really important for up-and-coming sort of newer artists, and it's... You have to be quite careful with who you go and support. And I think I've been really lucky because I've had the opportunity to go out on the road with artists that are not necessarily similar musically per se, but like you can tell that their fans might be interested in what I'm doing. And it's a challenge because you're going out and they're not, none of those people are there to see you. And it's kind of, I think, because I've been doing shows now for almost 2 years, it gets a little easier because people are starting to become a bit more aware. So when I do a show, they're sort of, they're there and they do kind of know who I am, some of them, so that gets easier. But at the beginning it was very much a case of just of winning them over and just sort of going out and doing your best. And it's a really good way of sort of learning stagecraft and just being able to adapt to different situations and different environments, because it's so varied, all the shows and different venues and different crowds.
And does it give you good scope to sort of practice your live act and what you have on stage with you, who you have on stage with you?
Totally. I started off doing it on my own, and the second show I ever did was supporting Rufus Wainwright, which was
amazing.
Something, I can't really quite remember how that came about, but it was weird because took me a long, long time to pluck up the courage to do a show in the first place. And it was weird doing that as my second, but it was, I think sometimes being thrown in at the deep end is a really good way to learn. And yeah, it was really scary, but it was one of those things where you're sort of not used to it at all, and then suddenly there's 2,000 people there staring back at you, and it's kind of... So I started it on my own, and I sort of learned how to be on stage, and there's all kinds of things to sort of think about, like, you know, talking between songs and saying hello. It took me about 10 shows just to even say hello to the audience, but like...
Do you have well-rehearsed jokes now?
No. I freestyle all that stuff.
Okay.
But I do think that as time goes by and I do more, I'll probably have a few on my set list that I've written out.
Okay.
I've heard people doing the same jokes at shows when I've seen them a couple of times.
It gets a bit embarrassing, doesn't it?
It's a bit embarrassing, isn't it? And then so I started to bring a couple more people on stage and did a show with a choir once and a little quartet, and now I'm playing with a 4-piece band, so it's been a really good learning curve.
Your debut album, Wishes, is coming out soon. How long has that been in the making?
I suppose I began working on it about 2.5 years ago, which is when I kind of first started writing songs. I used to write soundscapes before that, and I was in a band, and I played bass in a band, and I'd been in quite a few bands growing up and sort of learned, not sort of with any intention, but just through what I'd done, I'd learned the sort of the rhythm section, the bass section, and the from playing bass, and then I knew all about sort of atmospherics from sort of a prog band I was in when I was at school, and then guitar's been my main passion. The only thing I hadn't really done is sing. So as soon as I decided that that's what I wanted to try, I just started writing the songs. So it's been a process since the very beginning. And then me and James Kenosha, who was a producer, he was the very first guy that I ever worked with. We spent about 6-7 months recording it in his studio, and we just me and him, and we just did it.
And you say you didn't really sing before, but you've got quite an incredible voice.
Thanks.
How did you suddenly discover that?
I don't really know. I think it's a hard question because I was so afraid of singing before, and I think it's just got something to do with the fact that it's not really in your control. It comes from within, and I had this fear that it wouldn't come out properly how I wanted it to, and I know so many great singers, just friends, and I just didn't think it would come out the way I wanted, so I just never bothered. And it wasn't until I started to write music and pieces of music with no lyrics. I began by using my voice as just another texture, another instrument, and using oohs and lahs and things like that and building up harmonies and things. And I developed this way of just being comfortable. And then when I started to write songs, the way I emphasised like a chorus part was just by singing really loud and big. And it wasn't something I necessarily thought too much about. I just sort of went with it. And I think that enabled me to develop my own kind of style in a way, which I hope I've retained. This song's called Breathe.
Night breaking too. There's a light in the sky, there's a light, and it's all for you.
You've been listening to The Sessions at Midori House. Today's guest was Rhodes, and his debut album Wishes is out on the 18th of September. He's playing dates around Europe, followed by a UK tour this autumn. Find out more information at rhodesmusic.co.uk. Join us again at the same time next week when we'll be joined by LA Folkster's Doors in the studio. This show was engineered and mixed by Alex Funnell. I'm Holly Fisher. Thanks very much for tuning in.
Never give up. Never give up. Never give up.